I guess you can tell I'm not Brian. We're giving him a day off today, so I hope you don't mind me stepping in. But if you know me, I like to organize my lessons in New Testament textual lessons from the Old Testament, and just plain topical lessons. Because I really do feel like we get the totality of Scripture that way. And I love character studies. To take a passage of Scripture, or maybe a couple of passages of Scriptures, depending on what it is, just read it, understand it, and understand the character whom we're discussing. In the past, I've talked about Joseph of Arimathea. I've talked about Manasseh. I've talked about various people. Joseph, for instance. Today I want to talk about another character named Barabbas. And I appreciate the reading of that Jeff gave just a few moments ago, because that was a good reading of the text. And we get already a sense of background of what's going to take place. We think we know Barabbas in a certain situation. And of course, we know certain things, that he was released and instead of Jesus and so forth, and people wanted Barabbas. But I want you to notice that Barabbas, this man was an evil man. This man was among the people, this man truly deserved to die. There's no question about it. His guilt is unquestionable. In fact, he was called a robber in John chapter 18 and verse 40, where it states, "And they cried out saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber." So Barabbas is a robber. But more than that, he committed murder in a rebellion. He committed treason. As it states in Mark chapter 15 and verse 7, "And there was a man named Barabbas who was chained to his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion." So here are two individuals. They're standing before Pilate. Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who had done nothing wrong. And you have Barabbas. Barabbas is a man who was a lawbreaker. He was a thief. He was among all of these things. He was a robber. He was a terrible man. There was nothing good about this guy. And the people were saying, "We want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus Christ. We want Barabbas to be released." Makes sense if you're a Jew, because Barabbas was a leader of a rebellion. You see, the Jews at that time were looking to overthrow the Roman Empire. So Barabbas is like, "Yeah, we want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus Christ." And they looked at Jesus as being someone who broke the Sabbath, because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. He did it actually a couple of times. Jesus talked about, as we talked about in our study on John, that John was looking at the situation that where a lot of Jews turned away from him, because Jesus was saying, "You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Well, of course, they didn't understand that. And they said, "Well, Jesus is a cannibal," kind of thing. So a lot of people were turned away from Jesus Christ. And the Jews really had turned and changed from Jesus. And so here's Barabbas and here's Jesus Christ, and they wanted Barabbas. Barabbas was a lawbreaker. His guilt is not in question. Jesus was a lawkeeper. In fact, it states in Luke chapter 23 and verse 23, they were insistent demanding with loud voices for him to be crucified. The voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So we know what happens in the story. We know how Jesus will be crucified. But here's a man. His guilt is not in question. This man is guilty of death. But I want you to notice something else about this situation. This man, Barabbas, was set to die. This man is on death row. And there's nobody who could save him. There's nobody. I mean, how there's no probation. There is nothing like that going to take place. He couldn't get time off for good behavior. We a lot of times do that in our prison system today. If you're good in prison, well, you can get time off for good behavior. There wasn't anything like this. Barabbas is an evil man. He deserved to die. He should die. And the only reason Barabbas lives is because the people wanted Jesus to die instead. That was it. So here is Barabbas. I want you to consider this. Barabbas only lives because Jesus had to die in his stead. That's it. I mean, if you were Barabbas, what would you be thinking at this particular point in time? But I want you to notice something else about Barabbas. Barabbas, he became a free man. When the people shouted out, "We want Barabbas to be freed. We don't want Jesus Christ. We want Jesus to be crucified. We want Jesus to die upon that cross." They're out for his blood. But when they shouted out for Barabbas and their voices prevailed, we see a situation where Barabbas will be let go. Here's a man who's guilty of death. He deserves death. He deserves to die. Jesus will die in his stead. And now he's a free man. He's not on probation. He doesn't have to go and talk to the authorities and check in once in a while to make sure that he's on the right path kind of thing. He's not getting off. He says, "Well, check back in a year," and he says, "We'll see how you're doing," and he may have to go back to jail or something. It's nothing like that. Barabbas is a free man. And we may be sitting here thinking, say, how unfair is that? He's set to die. He's on death row. He should die. And now he's free. That doesn't make much sense. But I'm going to go through this lesson again and put a little different twist on it. Because when it comes right down to it, guess what? I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm Barabbas. I am Barabbas. And so are a lot of you. We can relate. We can relate very much. Because even though Barabbas deserved to die, I also deserve to die, don't I? I'm deserving a death. Just like Barabbas. His guilt is not in question. I'm a sinner. Maybe not to the same extent that he was a sinner. Haven't committed murder or anything of that nature, led to rebellion or treason or anything of that nature. But I've sinned against God. As it talks about in John, in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and also verse 23, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Before the eyes of God, when I sin, I'm not a righteous person. And in fact, it says in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I have sinned in my life. I imagine we all can relate to that, understand that. When we have sinned in our life, we break God's law. We're guilty of something just about popularity. We're guilty before God. And we deserve death. That's what we deserve. And that's how I can relate to Barabbas, in a sense. We also see, as you consider several lists of passages, think about Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, that we see we're all guilty of something. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is amazing passage. Because as you look at this passage, you say, well, the cowardly and the unbelieving, and you have, and it's like, oh, murder, yeah, they belong in hell. They need to be punished. But in the same text, you have a passage about all liars. Well, would that include us? Can we relate to that? Oh, I know I can. I've had quite a few spankings growing up because of it. I can relate. If you commit sin against God, you're deserving of death. He talks about the second death. Now, we may say, well, what's the second death about? I don't understand the language here. Well, that's explained as you look earlier in the text about what the second death actually is and what it means. Because it also talks about in the book of Revelation, like, for instance, it talks about not only the second death, but you also have the first resurrection. What's that about? Well, the first resurrection is that of being baptized. See, when we sin, we die, and we're deserving of death. But then the Bible talks about the first resurrection. There's no mention of a second resurrection in the Bible, but there's only mention of a first resurrection. As you look in chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, it talks about the 1,000 years. The first is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. The second death has no power over those who are part of the first resurrection. And this goes in context in the same passage, dialogue, as what we find here in Revelation chapter 21. I don't have to be condemned to die for all of eternity if I'm part of the first resurrection? I'm a baptized believer. I follow God. I'm obedient to God. If I'm obedient to God, this idea of being condemned to hell or being punished for all of eternity does not affect me. Because I've been resurrected, the first resurrection, as it talks about in the book of Revelation. I've been raised. I've been resurrected from my old life of sin and death to a new creature, a new creation, as it were. And that's why our baptism illustrates that of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you see also in the book of Romans. What does our baptism represent? So we're dead, we're buried in the waters of baptism, we are raised up, we're resurrected. The first resurrection. That's talked about here in the book of Revelation. In that sense, the second death has no power. And that's what this is referring to. As also states in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10 about stealing. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And so again, what are we guilty of? We're all guilty of something. We have all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. If I commit any of these sins, God says, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. You have a bigger list in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32. I'm not going to read the entire passage. But halfway through it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, and knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Is there anything on that list that we're guilty of? Do I deserve death? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I may not be deserving of death because I murdered someone. Maybe I didn't go out there and steal or take a car or break into someone's house or something like that. No, I didn't do anything like that. But I did something against God. And God clearly states that you're deserving of death. Just like Barabbas is deserving of death. But you know something? Just like Barabbas, I can live. Why? Because Jesus died. Since I am lost and condemned to die, I cannot save myself. There's nothing I can personally do to help myself. I see in Romans chapter 4 verse 8, blessed is the man in whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Also see in Romans chapter 5 verses 8 through 10, as it states in verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's he talking about? What do you mean Christ died for us? Just like Barabbas, Christ died for me too. I've sinned, I'm deserving of death, but guess what? Jesus Christ died so I might live. That's an amazing thing. You think about what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can be spared from death. Can I now relate to Barabbas? Can I? I think we all can. But I want you to notice one other thing about Barabbas. Barabbas, as it talks about here, Barabbas had a chance to live again. He walked away as a free man. A chance to start new, start afresh. We can too. We can. It talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. We won't read the whole passage, but in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Don't go that direction of sin. Change. But I want you to read verse 23. That you put off the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I am to change my life. Barabbas, he had a second chance of life. He's a free man. I don't know what Barabbas did after he was released. I have no clue. The Bible never tells me. And I'm not even going to come close to speculating. I have no idea. What about us? I deserve to die. Christ died for me so I can be saved. And if I've been given a second chance, what am I going to do with that second chance? That's the question I need to ask myself. As it states in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. I want to be a new person. A new creation. I'm to put my old life behind me and walk a different way. That's what it means to become a Christian. We have the example of Barabbas here in the Bible. It's a great character study for us all to learn from and to look at. It says, you know, I can relate to that man. Now, I can't relate in the fact of being part of a treason and rebellious murderer, that kind of, I can't relate to that. But I can relate to that situation, as we all can. He was given the second chance and freed. I deserve to die. I have a second chance given to me because of the death of Jesus. And what am I going to do with it? Can I possibly relate? We may look at Barabbas and say he's a horrible person. I'm not like him. And we may say, I'm nothing like Barabbas. Actually, we are. We're exactly like him. The question is what are you going to do about it? What kind of decision are you going to make in your life? Are you going to simply say, you know, I've lived a life of sin, I've lived this life of rebellion, and I'll just continue to go in that path? Are you going to decide that? Jesus died on the cross so we can be saved. Are you going to continue a life of sin?
That doesn't make sense. Jesus died so we could be set free, so we can be saved and have eternal life. I can't do that on my own. So we're going to be extending the invitation in just a few moments. I want you to think about this. You can make things right today before God, whom you will face in the day of judgment. God wants you to believe. God wants you to repent of your sins. God wants you to confess His name before man, and God wants you to be baptized for remission of sins. That's what God demands. God wants you to be faithful all the days of your life. Now granted, I know we all slip and fall. We all make mistakes. We're human. But I can come back to God. I can do the right thing. So the invitation is offered by God. If you need to become a Christian, you can become one. Become a free man in the eyes of God. Or if you need to the prayers of the saints and have your sins remitted and forgiven, you can do that as well. If you're in this audience, you need to respond. This is your time, your opportunity to do so as we stand, as we sing.
Have mine affections been nailed to the cross? Is my heart